Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
One of the things that I love about church, especially here in Found Church, I love that anyone is welcome to walk through the doors. Anyone. No exceptions. You don't have to measure up to a certain standard. You don't have to wear the right clothes or act in a certain way to be welcomed. We want every single person who walks through the doors of Found Church to be welcomed in the exact same way. And of course, this is even more exemplified at the moment as we are meeting online and you are tuning in from your homes. Some of you might still be wearing your PJs and eating your breakfast. And if that's you this morning, I want to say to you this morning, you are welcome here. It's great to have you here. And maybe all through your life, you have never ever felt like you fitted in anywhere you went. You've always felt like a misfit and just didn't belong. And I want to tell you this morning that you are welcome here. And you belong here. You see, I believe that Jesus invites misfits to become missionaries. And I want to continue our new series for 2020 called Stronger. I want to speak today on Stronger Together. Stronger Together. A few weeks ago, I had a dream and in this, and a particular phrase kept going round about in my head as I was dreaming. And that phrase was, we is greater than me. We is greater than me. See, we might be able to do great things on our own, but I really believe that when we work together, then we will do extraordinary things together. And as I woke up, that phrase was still in my mind as I prayed about it, and I was really inspired by the Holy Spirit around three messages around the whole theme of Stronger Together. And the first one is all based upon the theme, Church of Misfits. Church of Misfits. If you've got a Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read through verses 18 to 22. So that's Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through to 22. It says here, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing the nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, what do you think about when you hear the word church? Is it grand, ornate buildings with stained glass windows? Or perhaps it's a small building with hard wooden seats, a choir and an organ? Or perhaps it's a modern building with a coffee shop, a huge platform, loud music with life and energy? Or it might even be this, sitting in your house, drinking coffee and watching online. See, when the New Testament mentions the word church, it's talking about the people, the body of Christ, who received the Holy Spirit and are sent to tell the gospel. The Greek word ecclesia refers to the gathered ones, or believers called into community with God. And the book of Acts ascribes emotions and actions to the church. So, for example, in Acts chapter 5, verse 11, it says, great fear seized the whole church. And in Acts 15, verse 3, it says, the church sent them on their way. And I have never, ever known a physical building to be fearful or to send people on their way. When you look at it this way, you're not going to church. You are the church. You and I together are the church. We are the church, not the physical location in which we gather, but you and me. And I'm sure you've seen that, but I really love the cartoon that's been circling on social media, and it's a little cartoon that shows a picture of Jesus and a picture of the devil, and the devil saying to Jesus, "Ha, with COVID-19, I closed down all your churches." And Jesus just smiled at him and says, "Ha, you might have closed the church buildings, but I've opened a church inside every single person's house." And I love that idea. See, when I look at the church and how it is made up with imperfect people, with the broken, the bruised, the rejected, a whole bunch of misfits coming together, in the natural, it should not work. It should not work. See, in any other organization, you build your team with the best people. Sports managers want the best players to build the best team to win the biggest prizes. But the church is different. And it's just the way that Jesus designed it to be. And this quote from Preston Sprinkle's book called Charis, which is really just another word for grace, and it's called Charis, God's Scandalous Grace for Us, really sums up perfectly what I'm trying to say. And it says here, let me quote from his book, it says, "God aggressively and delightfully values and uses thugs and misfits to build his glorious kingdom. Abrasive, thick-headed people like Peter, hot-headed racists like James and John, violent brawlers and extortionists like Simon and Matthew, and mentally deranged bag ladies like Mary Magdalene. He doesn't give them a bowl of soup and shuffle them out of the church. He gives them responsibility, the hallmark of genuine value, and trust in the God who uses the weak to shame the strong." Grace isn't a term. It's not a doctrine. It's not a buzzword. It's not the words of a song, a prayer before meals, a name plastered on our churches. It's not leniency or niceness. It's not something that can be domesticated or completely understood. And it's something that can never grow old or stale. Grace is what flows through the veins of Jesus, whose heart stubbornly beats for you, a thug loved by the one who gladly endured the cross to bring you back to Eden. And I love those words in that book. I love how that is summed up perfectly for us, a church of misfits. See, Jesus is love. Jesus is grace, and he's full of truth. And he comes on the hunt looking for people that are misfits, that are perhaps rejected by everyone else in the world. And people would essentially be rejected from heaven because of our sin. And he invites us in because he pays the price for us. He goes to the cross and he dies to forgive us of our sins, to include us, to love us, to wrap his arms all around us. You see, Jesus started building his church while he was here on earth. He starts with the four mentioned in our text that we just read a few minutes ago: Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He then adds eight more, and one of those eight would then go on to betray him. And the movement would grow, and at one point we see 70 different disciples going out door to door in different communities to share the gospel. Another time we see 120 gathered together. By the time the book of Acts comes around, you have over 500 disciples to see Jesus, who see Jesus alive. He was building his church long before the day of Pentecost, long before the book of Acts and the events recorded in it start. The way that Jesus was building his church was by teaching them. He told Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it." See, Jesus will build his church. It's not for me as a pastor or a priest or a minister or anybody else to build God's church. We don't change people's lives from the inside out. Jesus is the only one that does that. But we get to assist. I get to assist in this. We get to be part of the process, but only because we've been invited entirely by grace. But Jesus is building his church. Whilst he's on planet Earth, he is building his church, and he's doing it by personal example. He was showing them the ultimate example as to what it means to give love, to give truth, to give grace and hope to people. He was showing them how to pray and worship. They came to him, teach us how to pray. Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he shows them by using that great model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He modeled how to get off alone and be alone with God. He is teaching them how to worship. He's teaching them how to heal and help. When he fed the 5,000, he used the disciples to distribute the bread and the fish. He put it in their hands. He wanted them to be part of the process. He wants you to be part of the process. He showed them how to lead by serving. See, leadership is not about being the most popular or the most powerful. Leadership is about serving under people. Leadership sometimes comes down to checking on our neighbours. It's all about seeking the best for the people around us. Not the best for yourself, but the people around us. Jesus showed them how to have greater faith. He talked about faith as small as a mustard seed. And you can say, to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, and the mountain, and it will happen. He was constantly challenging others to have greater faith. He was constantly challenging others to believe God for greater things. And he demonstrated what it is to have complete trust in the Father. He showed them and he modeled how to touch the untouchable. When they were living according to the Old Testament Jewish law and ceremonies, they were all about separation, separating yourself from people who were unclean, unhealthy and untouchable. Jesus taught them to touch the untouchable, to go to people who were deemed unworthy and to love them. Jesus modeled and showed them how to be a people of unshakable hope. He invested in them the truth that he would come back from the dead, and they didn't understand it, they didn't get it at first, but when Jesus rose from the dead and suddenly they got it, and there was complete buy-in from all of them, and they were full of hope because of what Jesus taught them, what Jesus invested in them, and because of what he did. They were full of hope, unshakable hope. So Jesus did all of that while he's building his church. And he has this plan that he's going to go to the cross. He's going to rise again and go on back to heaven someday. But when he goes back to heaven, he is going to commission these people, these misfits, to go and take a message of hope all over the world. And that's good news for us today. It's good news for you, and it's good news for me. And it's good news for everybody that you know. Not only did he teach them by personal example, but when Jesus rose from the dead, he also empowered the church with his Holy Spirit. He takes these misfits and he says, I am going to live in you and walk beside you. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you what I have said and what I have done. He's going to remind you of me. He's going to give you power. He's going to give you wisdom and ability as you go and do what redeemed misfits can do best. That is to spread the hope of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22 says, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You see, the church as we know it today is the dwelling place of God. Not in a building, but as you, the people of God. Wherever you are right now, whether you're sitting, standing, or even lying in your bed, you are just as much as you would be if you were here sitting in this building on a Sunday. You are the church. God lives in you and he fills us with the Holy Spirit. And just before Jesus left the earth, he commissioned the church. I want you guys to go everywhere, every nation, every people group, and language, and I want you to share the good news about Jesus, to give hope where there's none, to shine light in the darkness. And at the end of the commission, he says, I am with you always, even until the end of the ages. And he is doing that through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And he also commissioned us to keep going. He commissioned this ragtag bunch of people, including you and me, and he challenges us to go and be the church. And he also gives us instructions that we get to follow. He gives us instructions to love God no matter what, to worship him anywhere and everywhere. And I think it's ultra important that we remember this, especially at this time. It's up to us to see in this time that despite what's going on all around us, despite what we see in the news and the media, that we can still say that God is good, God is still faithful, and God still loves you. And we need to be, as the church, we need to be modeling this into a hurting and broken world, you and me. And then I think Jesus instructs us to love people no matter what. To love people no matter what. Even if we disagree with them, even if we don't like them, regardless of their colour or their creed or where they come from, any of that stuff, regardless if they come from a different social background from us, we are to love them. See, and I believe that misfits are the best at loving other misfits. And the reason is because we know what it's like to be included as the church, as a bunch of misfits that have been included and have been accepted. We know best how to love other misfits. We've got to use our gifts and to serve others. This is what leadership looks like. The New Testament word for ministry means serving. How can I help you? This is the church. This is us as people in action. See, every time the world hurts, every time Satan uses that for evil, God can use it for good. Every single time. Every single time. And the best part of it is, we get to be part of that. We get to be the church. We get to go and pray for people, to do practical help for people, go and pick up shopping, go and get prescriptions, donate food to the food bank. We get to be the church. We get to bring hope to people. That's exactly what Jesus would do if he was right here, right now, as we go through this situation in the world. And then we get to spread hope, no matter what. See, I've read and listened lots to what is happening with the current crisis, but I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand all the issues that's happening. I don't understand the things we need to put in place to get us out of lockdown. I don't understand any of that stuff. But do you know what I'm an expert in? Hope. I'm an expert in hope. See, Jesus is alive. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. There's healing in his name. And it's available for you and available for me. And it's available for every single person who is hurting and broken and needing hope in their life. We get to be people of hope. See, we have a choice to make. We can spread criticism, we can spread opinions or lies, we can spread fake news or conspiracy theories, or we can just cut through all of that and we can spread hope. Hope is what the world needs, not another conspiracy theory. The world needs hope. I want to encourage you this morning, decide to be a voice of hope that people can stand on. A voice of hope that people can stand on the rock that is Jesus. See, Jesus leads us forward today. He challenges all of us to do all of this in his name, to go and be his people, to go be his body and be part of something that's absolutely mind-blowing, this unstoppable movement called the church. See, the church in action is absolutely amazing. It's amazing. See, when Jesus died and before he rose again, people were worried for 3 days. And I'm sure that at least for those 3 days, the disciples would be worried, they'd be questioning, what's really going on here? Did Jesus leave us? Is he done? Is that it? Is that the end? Then Jesus comes back and he rises again. Imagine the hope and the feelings he would have had in that moment. Jesus is alive. He comes into the upper room and he's challenging and commissioning the disciples. And I'm sure that for at least a moment they were thinking, he's back. He's back. He's going to lead the movement. He's going to lead us forward. Now we get to move Rome out. Now we get to have our kingdom. But then he tells them, actually, I'm leaving. I'm going home. I'm going back to the Father. It's going to be on you. It's going to be on you. But I want you to do a few things first. And we start reading about this in the early chapters of Acts, and he says to them, wait for the promise and the power of the Father with the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit comes. When he fills the church, he fills your life as a believer, then I want you to go everywhere, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I want you to go everywhere telling people my message. And I think in reality, this should really be near the end of the church. Think about who those leaders are. He is not tapped on the shoulders of people who have great followers, have great influencers, have high social standing, or even the religious leaders of the day. Jesus collected misfits to be the church and say, you guys are going to lead this movement all over the earth. And you know what? It's going to change the world. Just imagine being in that crowd. I would be thinking, me? Are you sure, Jesus? Me? Really, me? But Jesus would say, absolutely. Why? Because I've saved you, I've redeemed you, and given you hope. You have everything you need to go and be the church. And they must have went through moments of doubt. Did Jesus pick the wrong guy? We're just a bunch of misfits. But they just kept on going. They went through persecution, arrests, ridicule, physical violence, and that's just in the next few chapters of the book of Acts. Don't you imagine there must have been moments of doubt? Why did Jesus pick us? We're just a bunch of misfits. Yet here we are today, in the year 2020, and I'm sharing a message today from God's Word because those people 2,000 years ago, those misfits, they kept on going. They kept on going. When there was hunger and famine, they helped each other. When there was hopelessness, they spread hope. When people had doubts, they stuck to the faith. They kept presenting the redemptive, life-saving gospel of Jesus. They just kept on going, regardless of the challenges, of the persecution. See, the church should have been done when the leader, Jesus, left them and went back to heaven. But remember, I want you to remember this morning that Jesus is alive. And he's empowered them and he's empowered us with his Holy Spirit. And that is what explains the history of the church. We are here by millions because Jesus has empowered us to be. He is still alive today. And here we are in 2020 in the middle of a huge crisis, still giving hope. Still giving hope. And the church is still drawing in misfits, and he's turning the misfits into missionaries. See, this is who we are. This is who we are. We are greater than me. We are greater than me. We collect other misfits who need God's grace. We share the truth and hope of the gospel. We care for the sick. We work to eradicate poverty. We work for justice of all kinds. And we can do this far better than me alone or you alone. We can do it far, far better. See, even as a church of misfits, we are stronger together. And maybe you'll watch.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.